Hey everyone, welcome back to 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes after a brief hiatus for Pesach. 1 week because it was Erev Pesach, I think we did Pesach Ideas, and the other because of Chol HaMoed. But we are back with our 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes, and I think we are approaching our 1 year anniversary of having this class. I know it has been enormously enriching for me, and I hope that it has been for you as well, and that you have benefited from it as much as I have and as much as I enjoyed. Of course, I want to thank our sponsor this morning, sponsored anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia, Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be an aliyah for his neshama. And again, as I've been doing throughout all my classes, I want to dedicate this class as well for a refuah shlema for my cousin, Rafal Aaron HaKohen, Ben Rivka. We say that the month of Iyar is an acronym for Ani Hashem Rofecha, that I am Hashem who will heal you. So for whatever it is that any of us need a refuah for, whether it's refuah sanefesh, refuah saguf, whatever we or those in our lives need a refuah for, this month should bring that Yeshua that we davened for so hard in the month of Nisan, that the month of Iyar should be Ani Hashem Rofecha, that Hashem should provide us with that refuah shlema, b'mheira b'yamenu, b'soshar cholei Yisrael. Okay. We have 3 ideas in 30 minutes. Our first idea comes from one of my rabbis, my Rebbe, Rabbi Baruch Simon. We quoted him a little bit in our pre-Pesach Haggadah class, who came out with a beautiful new Haggadah on Pesach. I actually called him beforehand and to wish him a mazel tov, to congratulate him. He said they had already run out. The printing had already run out. That's how popular it is. That is Rabbi Simon's Amazing Godless, is the breadth and reach that he has to spread Torah. So I want to share something we have not done yet, I don't believe. An idea from Rabbi Simon's Sefer on the Parsha, Imrei Baruch. But he has a beautiful insight and a beautiful idea here that I wanted to share with you, that I know that at least one of the people on this Zoom right now this morning is going to appreciate very much. Here we have the notion, of course, Parsha Shmini, is the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. It's the 7 days of preparation for the Hakamas HaMishkan, for the building of the Mishkan. Of course, the Pasuk tells us, Vayhi B'yom HaShmini, Kara Moshe Aaron Levanav Ulizignei Israel. At the end of the 7 days of preparation, 8th day comes, Moshe calls Aaron, he calls children, he calls the Zignei Israel. Rashi says, Shmini Limiluim. That's the 8th day of the 7 days of Miluim. Now, parenthetically, and again, this is not our idea, but it's a very strange language, Shmini Lamiluim, right? I don't call Sunday the 8th day of the previous Shabbos. I don't call last Monday, I don't say that's the 9th day of Pesach, right? What's Shmini Limiluim? There's 7 days of Miluim, and then there's the 8th day, which happens to be the day of Hakamas HaMishkan. Why does it refer to as Shmini La Miluim? So the Shemin HaTov, Bruno Weinberger, points out that that's the whole point. In other words, you cannot have the 8th day without the previous 7 days. You cannot have a Hakamas HaMishkan without preparation for the Hakamas HaMishkan. And originally I was going to share that idea with you as one of the ideas, but I'll share it as a parenthetical idea. It's just a beautiful insight about what it means to bring Kedusha in to our lives. If we want to create the Hashras HaShchina, if we want to bring God into our life, we can't just wake up one morning and say, all right, God, I'm ready, let's make it happen. Right? There were 7 days of preparation. The Jewish people had to put in effort. They had to put in work to make it happen. That is why it's referred to as Shmini Lemeluim. The 8th day doesn't come in a vacuum. But the 8th day comes on the heels of 7 days of preparation. Okay, very nice. Rashi elsewhere, the Pasuk elsewhere, tells us that Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe la'akim es ha-mishkan. That's the Pasuk in Parshas Naso. And it says, it doesn't say b'yom hakim, on the day that he built the Mishkan. Rather, it says kalos Moshe la'akim, the day that Moshe stopped building the Mishkan. And over there, Chazal tell us that what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu built and took down the Mishkan every single day of the 7 days. In other words, it wasn't just that on the 8th day he woke up and he built it, but rather he built it on the first day, took it down. Built it on the second day, took it down. Built it on the third day, took it down. So on and so forth. What is the significance of that? Why specifically does Moshe Rabbeinu need to build it and take it down each day? Why couldn't he have simply built it once? So you could answer like Rav Weinberger in Shemin HaTov answers, which is that was the preparation. In other words, you can't have Kedusha b'li hachana. You can't have sanctity without any preparation. So Rabbi Simon here first quotes Rav Yosef Greenwald, Mipapa, I don't know who that is, but in his Agadas Vayichi Yosef, he offers the following suggestion. He says that Klal Yisrael are searching for something in the building of the Mishkan. What are they searching for? They're searching for tshuva. They're searching for repentance. They just sinned horrifically at the golden calf, and now they want God to forgive them. They want to bring Hashem back into their lives. That's the whole purpose of the Mishkan. That's the celebration of the Mishkan, is it's a reconnection between Hashem and the Jewish people after the fallout of Chet HaEgel. Says R. Greenwald, that is why Moshe builds it and takes it down. Moshe wants to teach the Jewish people that teshuva is not a one-step process. You can't just wake up, snap your fingers, and say, God, I'm back, I'm doing tshuva. I can't sin yesterday, sin the day before, reject God, and then like that, say, you know what, I'm ready, God, I want everything to be normal. Says R. Greenwald, the reason why Moshe builds it and unbuilds it every single day is so that they realize just how difficult and all-encompassing true teshuva is. It says, Kimaya Moshe, Mekim Amishka, Venishar, Kach Al Amdo. Moshe just built it and left it there. So Jewish people would sit back. They'd eat bonbons. They'd say, ah, we did tshuva. We don't need to work anymore. Moshe specifically builds it and takes it down to teach them that real teshuva, that real change, is sometimes hard to do. Sometimes hard to do. There is, I will point out, a beautiful idea. Rabbi Simon does not point this out, but the Medrash refers to the 7 days of Miluim to the 7 days of creation. That there is a comparison between the creation of the world and the construction of the Mishkan. I was thinking when I was looking at this comparison that that is actually a significantly profound comparison. Because what it means is that while Hashem created the world physically at the creation, the Hakamas HaMishkan is actually a recreation of the world, not in physical terms, but in spiritual terms. That we have two parts to who we are. We are physical bodies, right? We live in a physical world, but we also obviously recognize that we live in a spiritual world as well. Something to think about at your Shabbos table, the Mishkan is the spiritual creation of the world as we bring Hashem a Dira B'Tachtonim, we allow Hashem a dwelling place in this earth. None of those are the idea I wanted to share with you though. Here's the idea that Rabbi Simon quotes. We know the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kisheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam, that a Tzadik falls 7 times and gets up. Now we know, Rav Tzadok quotes it, Rabbi Simon here quotes from Rav Huttner, you and I both know it because, I believe it's a Joey Newcomb song, I said one of the people here is going to be very happy, but we know the Vort is that it's not Kisheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. It's not that the tzaddik falls 7 times, and despite the fact he gets up. No, it's actually the opposite. It's what makes him a tzaddik, is that kisheva yipol v'kam. What defines someone as a tzaddik is their ability to fall down and also get back up. Says Rav Huttner, Hatipshim choshvim ki kavanas b'derech revusa, afal pi sheva yipol tzaddik mikomakum ukam. Rabbi Huttner says, the idiots, the fools, they think that the understanding of this pasuk is that the tzaddik falls down, and despite that, he's a tzaddik, and he falls down, he's able to pick himself back up. He says, aval chachamim yodim, but those who understand really know that what it really means is, shehamahus hakima shel tzaddik, that the fact that the tzaddik is able to bring himself back up, he derech hasheva nefilo shelo, what makes him the tzaddik, is the fact that he fell beforehand, right? His power to rise despite the fall. He says that's pshat in the Medrash, that Vayara Elokim es kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od, that Hashem saw everything and he saw that it was tov ma'od, says Rashi over there. Tov is the Yetzirah, tov ma'od is the Yetzirah, I'm sorry, tov is the Yetzirah tov, ma'od is the Yetzirah. What does that mean, says Rav Huttner? Ki hanefilos machazikem es adam. It's our falls which actually define us. It's our falls and our ability to get back up from those falls which actually turn us into the tzaddik. So if you want to know what a pathway to righteousness is, it is not smooth sailing. The path to righteousness is that when you fall, you get up nonetheless. And that is what defines you as a tzaddik. Says Rabbi Simon, V'yitachen sheze atzmo hu yalimun mimei me hamilum. Says Rabbi Simon, that is what we learn from the construction and destruction of the Mishkan for 7 days. Lahoros, kikach ba'ofen ze hu ki kol inyan hashras hashchina, that the hashras hashchina came through the building and the falling, Shalidesha Kamim Vinoflim Chosrin Vikamim Vichosrin Vinoflim. Moshe built it and he took it down. He built it, he took it down. He got up and he fell down. He got up and he fell down. That is Bechinas Sheva Yipol Tzadik Kam. That is what it means to be a tzadik. Zochim Besofa Shaldavar Lahamides Amishkan. Al Taloi Ulivnos Midor Ratzoi Lashras Ashkina. That is what made us merit the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan wasn't just built because Moshe built it. Hashras HaShechina happens. When something is built, it's destroyed, and yet you pick yourself up and you build it again. Says Rabbi Simon, by orchestrating the construction of the Mishkan this way, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us a life lesson about what it means to be a tzaddik, of what it means to welcome Hashem into our lives. Think about it, for those who want a different analogy, in terms of a stock. If you see a stock that goes like this, straight up, so you know bad things are going to happen. Might not happen today, might not happen tomorrow. It's going to happen at some point, right? If there is a meteoric rise, there's always going to be a meteoric fall after that. What you really look for in a stock is a stock that goes up a little bit and then retreats. And then it goes up a little bit more and then is able to weather the storms and the winds of the financial markets and able to still persevere and grow despite all of that, because that's how you know it has staying power. Says Rabbi Simon, why does Moshe build and take down the Mishkan over and over and over again? To show us that that is our pathway to success in Judaism. It's our power to rise despite the fall. You fall down, but you get back up again. That is what defines us as tzaddikim. That is what defines us as righteous people. Kisheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. What makes him a tzaddik is despite the fact that he was yipol, he nonetheless picked himself back up and tried again. And of course, you and I can all apply this to our lives, whether it's you're trying to break a habit and you've tried over and over again and you keep on making a mistake, keep at it. Whether you're trying to aspire in learning and you've tried a million times to learn a blot of Gemara, to do Chumash and Rashi, whatever it is your aspiration is, and we have failed over and over again, Kishevi Yipol Tzadik V'kam. What defines us is not our failures, but it's our ability to pick ourselves up after those failures. That is idea number one. Beautiful insight by Rabbi Baruch Simon, Rosh Yeshiva at YU, my personal Rebbe. Idea number two comes from one of my favorite Svarim in the entire world, Eila HaDvarim, Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger, who I believe is the Rav of Gilo. More importantly for me, he was a relative of Rabbi Klein, Olav HaShalom, Rabbi Gene Klein, who those who were in Boca, I don't know who was in Boca even that long ago, but those who were in Boca, I think more than 5 years ago, of course, will remember Rabbi Klein, Zecher Tzadik, Mekadosh Lavracha, of course, important to remember him with Yom HaShoah yesterday, a survivor, and really a malach in our midst. But Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger points out in Eilah HaDvarim the following. So we know that the Pasuk says that Moshe, Vayomer Moshe El Aharon, Karav El HaMizbeach, Ve'aseh Eschat Ascha, Ve'aseh Ascha, Ve'chaper Be'adcha Ve'amam. Moshe has to call. He has to encourage. He has to cajole Aaron to come and to do his responsibility in the Mishkan. Rashi says, why Karav El HaMizbeach? Why does Moshe tell Aaron to come close to the Mizbeach? She'haya Aaron Bosh V'yarei Lageshes. Aaron was embarrassed to come. Amar lo Moshe, lama ta bosh, lekach nivcharta. Moshe says, why are you embarrassed? You were created for this. Now, pshat is that Aaron is simply a humble person, and Moshe has to say, come. But we know that that's not the case, because Chazal tell us that why was Aaron embarrassed to come? Aaron was embarrassed to come because of chet ego. Aaron said to himself, you know what? I blew it. I sinned. I made a very big mistake. I participated in the most egregious sin ever against God. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, no, I know you sinned, but come anyways. Lekach nivcharta. For this you were chosen. Ask the Eilah HaDvarim. That makes no sense. How does ki lekach nivcharta answer Aaron's concerns? V'chidavka mishum sha'asa se'egel nivchar lakuna gedola? Are you going to say that because Aaron participated in this egregious sin, that's what made him worthy? That's what made him meritorious of being the Kohen Gadol? That's ridiculous. So says the Eilah HaDvarim, based on a beautiful understanding of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Zeh klal, kol she'ena mechuyev davar, ena motzei esarab miyadei chovasan. That anyone who's not chayev in something cannot be motzei others. It's what we call yatzah motzei. Right? It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a whole sugi over there. Okay? Kol she'ino mechuyah bedavar, if I'm not chayiv in something, so I cannot be motzei others, which is why my son, but let's say I had a five-year-old son, my five-year-old son would not be able to be motzi me in Kiddush, because he is not chayiv in Kiddush at the same level that I am in, therefore he cannot be motzi me. I can be motzi him, because I am chayiv in something. Says Rav Schlesinger, that the deeper understanding of that is that kol she'ena mechuyah bedavar, ena motzi esara midei chovasan, that anyone who is not in the parsha of something cannot also be motzi other people in that. In other words, for a tzaddik to connect to someone, or for you and I to connect to something, we have to be in that position, or we have to put ourselves in that position. Okay? Let's take an example of counseling someone. If I am counseling someone, it is eino dome, it is not comparable, my ability to counsel that person if I've been in that situation than if I've never been in that situation. It's just not comparable. I could try, I could give them tools, but my ability to empathize, my ability to understand, my ability to be nosei ba'olim chaveiro, to carry their burden, is indescribably different if I've been in that situation versus if I've not been in that situation. That, says Rav Schlesinger, is kol she'eino mechuyah bedavar. In other words, if you're not in that parsha, if you're not in that same circumstance, eino motzi at someone else. I cannot help you at that same level. I cannot empathize with you at that same level. I cannot carry that burden at the same level. Okay? If you have had a certain illness, and now you know of a friend that's going through that same thing, you are indescribably more in a better position to help that person than John Doe on the street. Right? You'll understand what they're going through more. You'll understand their anxieties more. You'll understand the challenges more. You'll be able to give them better advice. Says Rav Schlesinger, beautiful insight. This is why Moshe says to Aaron, Ki lekach nivcharta. Aaron says to Moshe, I'm not deserving of being the Kohen Gadol. I'm not deserving of bringing korbanos. I'm not deserving of playing that leadership role in the Jewish people. Why? Because I sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Aaron and says, no. That's why you're the perfect person to be the Kohen Gadol. Because as the Kohen Gadol, you are going to lead the Jewish people. As the Kohen Gadol, you're going to bring the korbanos, the sacrifices, which are going to atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael. And unless you have sinned, unless you understand the sinner's mindset and how painful it is to be distanced from God and to want so desperately to come close to Hashem, then you can't be that conduit of other people. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, it's exactly your challenge or your failure or your sin which makes you primed to now service Klal Yisrael. The reason why I think this is such a beautiful idea is because I think it's every single one of us. It's Hashem's way of telling us that what you and I view as our challenges are actually enormous opportunities. What we view as our challenges in life, and sometimes even our failures in life, Hashem looks back at us and says, no, I want you to use those challenges, I want you to use those difficulties and those failures to now help someone else, to now pay it forward. The fact that you've been in that situation doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you now can understand that to better help someone else going forward. I'll give you the best example. This is strictly anecdotal, but I'll take it and I'll defend it to the 10th degree. If you look at successful rebbeim in high schools, successful rebbeim in yeshivas in Israel, almost all of them were terrible students in high school. Almost all of them were rebellious and, let's say, not the perfect students in high school. And I see some of the moms here are laughing, including my mom, right? I'll pick on myself, right? If you look at successful rebbeim, successful teachers that are able to connect with the high school students, it's specifically rebbeim who were not successful in high school. And because they were not successful in high school, they understand how challenging it is to be a high school student. And because they understand that they're able to connect with high school students at a different level than a Rebbe who was perfect as in childhood, a Rebbe who never went through those challenges, a Rebbe who never had that failures and never had those difficulties. That, says Eila Dvarim, is what Moshe taught Aaron HaKohen. Aaron says, Moshe, I blew it. I can't serve as the person who's going to bring redemption for the Jewish people, who's going to bring kapara for the Jewish people, Moshe looks back at him and says, no, specifically the fact that you made that mistake, lakach nivcharta, that puts you in a position now to help other people. And so whatever it is, your challenge, whether it's a health challenge, whether it's a challenge in raising children, whether it's a financial challenge, whatever it is that your challenge is, that now becomes your opportunity. That now obligates you to pay it forward and to say, because I was in this situation, I am now obligated at a deeper and more profound level to help other people going through that challenge. I felt this profoundly, and again, I'll share very personally and anecdotally, but I personally felt this challenge after I was sick a number of years ago with cancer. And I now find that people call me from all over the world, people who I know and people that I don't know, to ask for advice and guidance, not because I'm wiser than anyone else, I'm certainly not, not because I have training in this more than anyone else, I certainly do not, but because I went through it. And I view it as my responsibility, because I went through that situation, to help people at a deeper and different level, because I went through it, I'm paying it forward. I understood what it was like, I understood the challenges, and I now have a responsibility to help other people going through those challenges. And so whatever it is that you went through, financial challenges, health challenges, raising children, whatever it is your challenge is, use it as an opportunity. It is your obligation now to pay that wisdom forward and to help someone else along the way. That is idea number two. Beautiful idea from Rabbi Eliyahu Schlesinger in his Sefer Eila HaDvarim. So again, idea number one was Rabbi Simon. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu build and destroy the Beis HaMikdash? To show us the power to rise despite the fall. Idea number two came from Eila HaDvarim, a beautiful Sefer. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu say to Aaron, yes, because you sinned, that's what makes you so worthy of being the Kohen Gadol? Because Moshe is teaching Aaron, he's teaching every single one of us to take our failures, to take our challenges, and to use them as learning opportunities to therefore pay it forward to someone else. That makes us more ready, and that makes us more successful in being able to help other people. Idea number three comes from the Yeshiva Shalom, Slonim Rebbe. Slonim Rebbe points out that the pasuk says in this week's parsha, "Ki ani Hashem ha-ma'aleh eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim li'os lachem le'lokim ve'ayisem kedoshim ki kadosh ani." I am Hashem, your God, ha-ma'aleh eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, who raised you up from Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, Samech Aleph Amid Beis, says that this is different language. That other places in the Torah, or most places in the Torah, it says, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem, that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Here, it specifically uses a different language of Hama'aleh Eschem, I raised you up from Mitzrayim. Ask the Slonim Rebbe, what is the difference between Hotzeisi Eschem, I took you out, and Hama'aleh Eschem, that I raised you up. So Rashi says, Al ki ani hama'aleh eschem, that because I raised you out of Mitzrayim, al menas shetekablu mitzvosai ha'leisi eschem, so that you could accept my mitzvos, I took you out. Asks the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiva Shalom, Madua nemar tanai ze dafka kan beparshas machalos asuros velo b'shar mitzvos. Why specifically over here, in the context of kashrus, those foods that are accessible to us, and those foods that are prohibited to us, why specifically over here does Hashem use the language of Hama'aleh Eschem, that I raised you up, as opposed to Hetzesi Eschem, that I took you out? Of course, this is relevant to right after our celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Slonim Rebbe, a magnificent, beautiful idea. He says that when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are two elements, there are two components to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Number one, ha'echad, ha'yetziya minara. God had to physically extract us from Egypt. We were in the Memtes Sharei Tuma. We were in the lowest point of Mitzrayim. And God had to physically and spiritually extract us from the Tuma, from the impurity of Mitzrayim. That is stage number one. That is Hashir Otseisi Eschem. God had to physically take us out of Mitzrayim. We were in the Memtes Sharei Tuma. We were in the lowest, lowest point. I have a beautiful word on that, but I'm going to hold it. Right? It took us out of the lowest point. That is Hotzeisi Eschem. But says the Slonim Rebbe, there's a different component. And that is not just extracting us from the impurity of Mitzrayim, but rather, V'yesh HaChelek Shel HaMa'aleh Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. there's a concept of aliyah, of elevating us. It's not just that God took us out of Mitzrayim, but that it's God made us into aliyah. God gave us an elevation. God made us his nation. He made us the Am HaNivchar. He made us the chosen people. And so says the Slonim HaRebbe, it's not just enough that God took us out of Egypt, but God allowed us to raise ourselves up to even a higher level. God gave us the ability and the capacity to aspire and to be ambitious and to strive and to seek even greater heights. And so it's not just enough that we left Mitzrayim, that we physically left Mitzrayim. But what defines us is our aspirations. Hotzeis Yeschem refers to God pulled us out. Hama'aleschem means that God had aspirations for us to achieve even greater heights of Kedusha, even greater heights of sanctity. Says the Slonim HaRebbe, that is why this is specifically said within the context of Machalos Asuros. Machalos Asuros, that which we can eat, that which we can't eat, is perhaps the singular way to define us as human beings. What differentiates us from animals, right? Animals eat, animals sleep, animals drink. We human beings do the same things, right? Animals have very many similar of the same functions as you and I. What differentiates us is how we use it, right? That's why the Rambam in his Hilchos Kedusha puts Machalos Asuros. He puts the laws of Kashrus. Because what defines our Kedusha is not simply what we don't do, but it's what we do and when we do it and how we do it and the context in which we do it. So eating is the most animalistic thing that you and I do. But if we do it the right way, it actually elevates us into being a chelek eloka mimal, into being into having that sense of sanctity, having that sense of kedusha. Says the Slonim HaRebbe, there are two elements to who we are. One is asher hotzeis Yeschem, that God removed us. But our Judaism is much more than that. Our Judaism is not just not doing the wrong thing, but our Judaism is recognizing the potential in every single one of us. Hama'aleschem, that God raised us up. God made us into B'nai Aliyah. He made us people who are striving and aspiring and ambitious to accomplish and to learn and to grow. That is ultimately who we are. We are not just Asher Hotzeis Yeschem. We don't just get out of Egypt, but we are Hama'aleschem. God keeps on raising us up and up and up until we reach the level of Am HaNivchar. Of course, this is important during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, the count from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Har Sinai, is this very idea. Yetzias Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim. The 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer are Hama'aleschem. It's us counting and striving and climbing the mountain until, please God, at Shavuos, we will ultimately be worthy and zoche of receiving the Torah HaKadosha. Hama'aleschem is not just about what we don't do, but it's about what we should be aspiring to doing. We should always be searching for more. We should always be reaching for higher heights. And so we saw here today three beautiful ideas. Idea number one, Rabbi Simon, why did Moshe take down the Mishkan every single day? To teach us that what defines us is not necessarily our successes, but it's how we recover from our failures. Idea number two, Eilat Dvarim. Why specifically the fact that Aaron sinned? Is it Lekach Nivcharta? This is why he was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, because it's only when he understood the mindset and the mentality of a sinner could he then be the conduit to bring Kapara for the Jewish people. And I built upon that idea from Rav Schlesinger to say that I think that is the mechayiv that obligates every single one of us, that no matter what struggles and challenges we go through in life, not to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with other people, to allow us to better help and empathize with other people. That is why God gives us those tests. Idea number three, this beautiful idea from the Nesiva Shalom. What's the difference between Asher Otzeis Yeschem versus our Parsha Hama'aleschem? That it's not just enough to do Yetziah. It's not just enough to leave Mitzrayim physically. But we need to know what we are living for. It's not freedom from, but it's freedom to. Why did we leave Mitzrayim? We left Mitzrayim so that we can become the Am HaNivchar. so that we can bring Kedusha into our lives, so that we can ultimately merit and climb the mountain to receive the Torah. Those are our three ideas. But there's more. I have a bonus idea for you this morning. And the bonus idea, I know for those who have to leave, I'll share very quickly. But it comes from the Sefer HaChinuch. Many people, the Shabbos, of course, have a custom of Shlisel Challah. They bake challah. We had to suffer through the difficulties of matzah for 8 days. And now we, Baruch Hashem, we're going to be able to have delicious home-baked challah this Shabbos. Why challah? Why do we have a mitzvah of Afrashas Challah? So many women around the world are going to participate in this mitzvah of Afrashas Challah. I want to share with you very, very briefly a magnificent idea from the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says that if you think about it, bread is the most significant way that we sustain ourselves physically, right? When you think about the paradigmatic example of what provides sustenance for human beings, it is bread. Bread and water. It's bread. Says the Sefer HaChinuch that Kidei Shetanuach Bracha Bo Al Yidei HaMitzvah, God said, I'm taking the most physical thing that sustains you, and I want to give a bracha to it. And therefore, God gives us this mitzvah of Afrashas Challah. The mitzvah of Afrashas Challah is Hashem's way of saying, here is your most physical need of sustenance, and I'm giving you a way to elevate it. I'm giving you a way to sanctify it. Listen to the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. V'nimseis, by doing so, ha'isa mazon laguf u'mazon lanefesh. By Hashem attaching a mitzvah to challah, Hashem is not only sustaining us physically, but Hashem is sustaining us spiritually as well. Ha'isa mazon laguf, it provides sustenance to our bodies, u'mazon lanefesh. And now that we have the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, it provides mazon, it provides sustenance to our neshamas as well. I think that's such a beautiful idea. As so many women are going to be doing Rosh Hashanah, it's so important to realize why we're doing Rosh Hashanah. Why on challah, out of all mitzvahs in the Torah, out of all elements of food, why do we choose challah? It's because challah sustains us physically. Can't live without bread. Comes along Hashem and says, you know what? The same way you have to nourish your body, you have to nourish your soul as well. And so when we do Hafrashas Challah, what we remind ourselves is that we are not just bodies, we're not just physical, but we are also souls. We also have a neshama. And that the same way we nourish our bodies, so too we have to make sure to nourish our souls, to nourish our neshamas. That is a bonus idea. That everyone who either eats challah the Shabbos, anyone who makes challah the Shabbos, anyone who zocha to do a freshas challah the Shabbos, think about this idea that we're not just nourishing our bodies, but Hashem gives us the capacity to nourish our neshamas as well. And with that, with everyone, a beautiful, meaningful, and inspirational Shabbos. And thank you all for joining us for this wonderful, wonderful learning opportunity.